Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Hope Anderson. Hope is a published author and a poet of more than five novels, chapbooks, and films. Her most recent book, How to Remodel a Life, One Woman's Guide to Surviving Alcoholism and Bipolar Disorder, is due in spring 2020, so soon coming out. And I had to bring her on the show to talk about her story. Hope, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is my pleasure. Tell the audience, where are you located?
I am located in Mooresville, North Carolina, a little town which is rapidly growing just above Charlotte.
Ah, look at that. East Coast time.
Yeah, East Coast.
East Coast. Hope, tell us about your story. What led you to, it sounds like you love writing and have been doing it for a while, to have five novels. And tell us about your background and what brought you here.
Well, I've been a writer probably all my life. I used to write poems as a little kid and short stories and things like that. I got away from writing in my 20s, when my alcoholism and bipolar disorder kind of began to rear their ugly heads. And I didn't get back into writing until I turned 60. And it's in 2015. And since that time, I've written all those novels and that chapbook and those films and everything. It's been a very, very creative time for me. And it was brought on by something miraculous. It was actually my husband had been diagnosed with liver cancer and was given 3 months to live. And we thought he was going to die. And we came very close to God at that time and just accepted that if this was going to be, this was going to be. And that's not what happened. He got a liver transplant by some crazy miracle, and he's now a certified personal trainer and wellness coach. And I looked at his rebirth as an opportunity for me to be reborn as well and to enter into a new phase of my life. And that's what's happened.
Yeah, he turned that around, turned the bad for good. And now he's helping other people in physical fitness at that.
He definitely did.
That is, pretty incredible. Now, I know there's a lot of people who have issues with alcoholism, but there's a lot more that deals with bipolar and don't come out and express it. How have you had to deal with that and to be as successful as you are today?
Well, I wasn't diagnosed with bipolar disorder until I was in my 40s. So I already had 20 years of sobriety. I had already been sober for 15 or 20 years by the time I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. What happened was that my dad died and Tom of cancer, and Tom was given that verdict at the same time. And I think that those two things coinciding just really spurred on the onset of a very disastrous manic episode for me, in which I ended up institutionalized. And that scared me so much to be behind bars, not being able to see my children. And, you know, I just, once I got out of there and I was diagnosed manic depressive and I knew what I had, I knew I was bipolar and I was put on the right medication, I became determined to do anything I could to not have that manic episode repeated. And so I totally, you know, I changed my life. I mean, my life had changed a lot already from getting sober, but it changed even more dramatically once I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
And got treated for it.
Exactly.
So for the audience who's not listening, tell us a little bit about bipolar disorder, what it is and how, what happens to you. Because I know there's unusual shifts in mood, energy, activity levels, you know, concentration. I mean, on day to day, you never know who's showing up.
Right, exactly. Well, when you're on your medication, which hopefully if you've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, you're on your medication and you're going to stay on it no matter how you feel, it's okay. You're level. You can live a life of a normal person. But when, for me, for example, when I am off my, which I'm not anymore, but if I were off my medication, what I would feel if I were becoming manic or I were becoming depressed, if I were becoming manic, I would have these delusions about myself. When I was playing tennis, I wouldn't be playing tennis. It would be Chris Evert playing tennis. I wasn't on the stage doing a community theater production. I was Meryl Streep on the stage doing a community production. Everything was overblown fantasy, la la land. I knew nothing about spending. It was nothing to spend thousands, tens of thousands of dollars at a drop. I didn't have any boundaries with people. I got myself into all kinds of terrible situations with men. I thought I could do anything. And at the same time, in the beginning of the mania, it was very creative. I felt this surge of energy and surge of optimism. But very quickly, that turns on you and becomes this monster that takes over your life and turns you into something that is totally unrealistic. Mm. And goes around hurting people.
So what goes up must come down.
And what goes up must come down. And you crash and, you know, razor blades, too many pills, thoughts of guns, walking in front of a train. You know, I mean, all these thoughts come to you or even actions that you take and you become suicidal. You become so depressed you can't do anything and life seems to be impossible. And that up and downness, I don't even think when people are in bipolar that you're aware of how up and down you are. At least I wasn't until I got level and realized that life is like a piece of lasagna. It has its little ridges. It has its up and downs, but they are not like the Himalayas going up and down, up and down. And when you're bipolar, everything is in the extreme if you're not being treated for it.
Yeah, and it can last for weeks, for months. It
can last for years. Yeah, wow. If you live that long.
Wow. And that is mentally exhausting. That is draining every piece of you.
Every piece of you and every piece of you, the people around you, your children, your spouse, your sisters and brothers and mother and father, your cousins, your colleagues, your students, you're everything. You're affecting all these people around you.
Yeah. And when you're manic, do you remember, you know, being on stage and performing like Meryl? Do you recall any of that? Or is it just a blur when you come down?
That's a really good question. I remember some. Obviously, I don't remember what I don't remember. But, you know, I remember some. And the burden that comes with remembering is also pretty steep. Because guilt and remorse and regret. And then you feel like, oh my God, I'm at fault. And in a way you are at fault because you did that. But at the same time, you're not at fault because you have a mental illness and it's just not being treated. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, if you know you have bipolar disorder and you have a doctor and have been given medication, it is your responsibility to stay on that medication so you don't blow up the world around you.
Mm-hmm. And that it's not your fault, right? It could be genetics. It could be environmental, altered brain structure.
Absolutely.
And chemistry can play a role in it. So I think the first step is the self-blaming.
Yeah, stop self-blaming. You get nowhere through that. You get nowhere if you're, that's like beating yourself up with a stick. I always say in my book that people respond much better to a hug than to a stick. And, you know, I try to give myself hugs every day when I do stupid little things or I'm whatever, because I'm just human and I'm doing the best I can.
It's that, you know, self-compassion. We need it.
Yes, self-compassion. Absolutely.
Because we treat, there's a good quote by, I think it's by Les Brown, that says, we should talk to ourselves as if we're talking to a loved one. to a lover, yes. to a lover. We're kind. We're not kind to ourselves enough.
That's true.
So tell us about your book and how you are using your experience. You're using your story to help empower women.
Well, How to Remodel a Life, which now has a slightly different subtitle. It's one woman's experience surviving alcoholism and bipolar disorder is my story. It's my story of my alcoholism and, you know, when it started, where it brought me, what happened, how I got sober and what has happened since, and the story of my bipolar disorder and what went along with that. So it's got some pretty bleak stuff in there, some pretty gritty, very honest. I've worked real hard with an editor to really dig deep into this book and tell my story as honestly and courageously as I can. And on the other side, at the end of every chapter is a toolkit. And the toolkit, which is different for each chapter, are the tools that I have accumulated over my 38 years of sobriety to treat and manage these diseases and to keep them under control.
Yeah, keeping them at bay is the goal.
Keeping them at bay. Because, you know, they never go away. You're always going to have them. But whether they're being managed or not is the real key. And so I think I've come up with like a lot of really good suggestions to people as to if you are willing to do the work, and it is work, if you are willing to make the changes in your life that are necessary, you really can lead an incredibly beautiful, wonderful, successful, joyous, happy, useful life. You know, my life right now is beyond my wildest dreams. I never thought I would be this person that I am today. And I am so, it amazes me every day how fantastic life is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so happy that you are thoroughly in peace and enjoy. You're enjoying every moment of life.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like? And how has that cultivating a healthy morning routine helped you be productive and stay and keep bipolar at bay and all that?
Okay, well, you have your healthy morning routine kind of as hit savers. And I looked at mine and it's more like hipster. It's more like I get up and yes, I hydrate. The very first thing I do is I drink water yeah. in the morning when I first get up. Then I inspire. I write, I do my daily devotions in my meditation books and I write in my journal, which I've been doing since 1998. I do Julia Cameron's morning pages. I do 3 pages in my journal every morning. And in that journal, I plan. I plan my day. I also just free write and do whatever's in my head. I write poetry. I do other stuff. But I always plan my day, my meals, my everything. And then at the end of that planning period, I surrender. I surrender my day to God. And I say, whatever your will is for me, I know what my will is for me, but what's your will in for me? You know, well, your will for me, put the people in my life and the things in my life that you would have there today and give me the ability to respond as you would have me respond. And then T is tidy up. I make my bed and I love doing that. E is exercise. I swim a lot. I swim a lot of miles and I walk and I do yoga and I just keep my body healthy. And R is relax. I make sure that every day I remember that I have to breathe and I have to not take myself too seriously. And I have to really just enjoy life because that's what I believe God's purpose is for me on this planet is to enjoy creation.
I love it. You added a twist. You added a twist to it. That's perfect. You're hydrating. It's in alignment. That's where the Hit Savers actually was birthed out of. It's entrepreneurs like you who are sharing what is it that they do that contribute to their success.
Yeah. I mean, and I do think in my book, I talk about as a creative artist, once upon a time, I used to believe that spontaneity was the most important thing for my creative juices. This is when I was drinking, mind you. Mm-hmm. You know, so being spontaneous, you know, ripping your clothes off in a bar, or jumping into a fountain, or doing any kinds of things, like staying up all night, drinking and writing gibberish. That all seemed so creative and spontaneous. And I realized I got nothing done. Mm-hmm. And what routine is so much more important to me in my creative life, because routine is like they're the hands that hold my life together. You know, they're around me, just hugging me and keeping me in my space so that I can do my work. And one of the routines that I do creatively is when I am working on a novel, I take Lawrence Block, he's a great writer, his suggestion, and I write 5 pages a day. Mm-hmm. And I do that every day until the novel's done. And I don't do any more and I don't do any less. I just write those 5 pages and then the novel gets done. And, you know, it's routine is a wonderful thing. And I think I appreciate it so much more as an older person than I did as a younger person.
And that is the case, because we are habitual creatures, which means habits are forming without our permission. Regardless, we have a habit. If it's a habit of rushing in the morning, it's a habit. If it's a habit of not eating healthy, a habit of not exercising, we have habits in place. Now, are they robust? Are they healthy? That's the question, because they are forming without our permission, because the brain is wired to protect us. Do you remember like learning to walk?
Yeah.
You know, the first few months, how challenging that was. It was a stumble. You fall, you get up again. But after you've learned, did you ever had to relearn?
No.
You've never had to relearn how to walk because it became a habitual thing. It became programmed in your mind. And that's what habits do. They program the subconscious mind so that you can do it easily and freely. And it's crucial, because if we put in place the healthy habits, then we will be creative freely and it will come, it will flow a lot better. And that's the beauty of the morning routine, so that you can prime yourself for the day. It's like setting yourself up for success. It's amazing how it works, but you gotta understand habits are forming. So you gotta be intentional about the ones you're putting.
You know, even though this morning I've been on a new medication for my bipolar disorder, because for many years I was on lithium, and it turns out that that created kidney disease in me, so which I have recently learned. So I've had to change medications. And this medication that I'm on now doesn't wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning anymore. It keeps me in bed and a little bit later. So this morning I woke up a little bit later, and it's Tuesday, so I swim on I swim a mile on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So I had a momentary lapse where I thought, maybe I won't swim today. It's, you know, it means I have to get out of the house in 15 minutes. And then I just said, no, it's Tuesday. You swim on Tuesday. That's what you do. So go swim. And I went and swam my mile and came home.
That's right. And if you didn't have that habit ingrained, you would not have gone it. And it would have started a whole different habit of not going swimming on Tuesdays.
Absolutely.
The brain is waiting, because it wants the familiar. You just got to tell it what to do. You build it, and then it will become ingrained. And it's easier to do. So thank you for sharing that. It's a perfect way to end the show. Hope, I thank you so much for coming on the show. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Well, the best way to connect with me is to go to my website, which is www.hopeanderson.org. But I want to remind listeners that my last name is spelled the Norwegian way, which is A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, not O-N, E-N. And if you do that, you'll see all my books, and you'll see my bio, and you'll see my events, and you'll see my upcoming things and everything like that. You can subscribe to my newsletter, and I would love to hear from you. So once again, it's Hope. It's www.hopeanderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N.org.
Awesome. Morning Enthusiasts, I'll have all that information in the show notes for you. Hope, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation. access the show notes and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.